I'm reading this morning from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Yesterday we had kind of a brief review and over looking once again of the topic of love in chapter 4. And we spent most of the time on that review and on verse 18. In verse 19, John says, we love him. In the context, we're talking about God. We love him because he first loved us. A man's response, a woman's response to God, does not begin with the individual. I know, depending on your taste in music, you've been exposed to a lot of stuff that, while it's under the name, under the guise of Christian music, really is not biblical in a lot of the lyrics. Some of the old standbys that I remember singing as a kid and in a church choir and in quartets and things of that sort that I've been involved in over the years. Some of the words, as I look at them from a biblical standpoint, are just way off base. A line from a song comes to mind. I searched and I searched for a road that led to glory. Search for a way to lighten the... Well, I mean, there's all of this stuff about what we did. We were looking for a city. We were... And the impression that is left in the casual hearer, somebody who doesn't know the Word of God, is that it was your idea to seek God. Had kind of a religious itch, and you figured you'd go ahead and check the big guy out. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious. Unfortunately, that is the way a lot of people talk about God. You ever notice sometimes they talk about the Lord as though he's just a good old boy wearing soft flannel and padding around heaven and just, you know, watering the flowers and just humming a tuneless song to himself and not much interested, not much involved in the affairs of men. Not a biblical point of view at all. Now, you'll notice something here in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. The causality. God took the initiative. You'll remember in our study of the book of Revelation in chapter 3, long near the end of chapter 3, John sees the Lord, and the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, oh, wait a minute, who took the initiative? The Lord did. You respond. He initiates, but you respond. You react to that invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It's interesting. God came looking for you. God sought you and he bought you with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Some of these old songs are sung so fast or arranged so poorly, you never hear the words. But my friend, he sought you. You didn't go looking for him. I realize that down inside the human heart, there is hardwired in, if you will, in the makeup of a man, a hunger for the divine, a hunger for something bigger than himself. But the natural creation does not reveal in detail enough of that Creator, enough of that supreme being, that God that nature reveals, is not in enough detail to spell out how to have fellowship with him. The heavens declare the glory of God, but can it declare the love of God? Or if you look, if you're cognizant of what you're seeing, if you comprehend what you're seeing, the rainfall, sun, God loves us and loves his creation. That much is apparent, if you stop to think about it. Science has stumbled across a few facts now and then, besides the hypotheses and the theories that they come up with. One of the things is this. This planet is located within a zone of distance from the sun that makes it perfect for habitable life to exist here. If the amount of sunlight striking, the amount of radiation striking the Earth from the sun, were to decrease by 0.1%, everything would freeze solid. And there would be no possibility of life as we know it here. On the other hand, if we were to draw closer to the sun, or if the sun were to increase the radiation striking the Earth by 0.1%, we'd all die. Life could not exist here. It'd be too hot. 0.1%, plus or minus, that's cutting them pretty close for chaos theory, for evolution, for a big bang. Isn't it fortuitous that we just happened to stop at the right distance from the sun? It has nothing to do with luck, my friend. God put it exactly the way he wanted it, and we're here. We love him because he first loved us. There are little things in creation that indicate his love for us. Do you ever wonder? You know, we take things for granted, but did you ever wonder why there are so many different colors of flowers? Well, you say, well, that's to attract the bees. No, bees, insects are supposed to be, if you believe what scientists have found, colorblind. There could be any number of varieties, gradations of intensity, shades of gray and white and black, but God chose to use color. Interesting, isn't it? Why? If he could have done it in black and white, why did he fool with color? There is such diversity with God in his creation that God has created. I don't like the word diversity because of the way it's used so much today and in non-biblical settings and meanings and connotations. But the Lord is the God of variety when you look at our creation. It's interesting. Every living thing, that is, every living animal, and I suppose to an extent you could apply some of this to plant life as well. It's interesting. Everything has a circulatory system, has a reproductive system, has a digestive system, a means, an instinct, a desire for survival. Why is it that while all living things have these things within their makeup, why is it that it's there in such staggering, detailed variety? But there it is. Interesting. We love him because he first loved us. My friend, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not God's will that anyone go to hell. Hell? The place of outer darkness, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the eternal fire and torment, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. That was created, according to the scripture, for the devil and his angels. God never intended for man to go there. And yet, my friend, that's exactly where the lost are headed. And God, not willing that any should perish, has made a way of escape from that destination. Oh, not once you get there. Once you get there, it's too late. But all along the road, there are off-ramps. All along the way to hell, there are opportunities to turn around and head for heaven. It is so plain and so simple that even a fool, even a man who is not entirely in control of all of his faculties, it is so straightforward and simple that even a fool can find the way of salvation. Now, I'd like to think you're a far cry from being a fool, that you're a notch or two above that anyway. But God loved you. You say, well, I know that, preacher. Yes, I'm glad you know that. But did you know he loved your family? You say, sure, I knew that. Yes, but do they? You see where I'm going? You know that Christ died to save you from your sins. Does your wife, does your husband, do your children, do your parents, do your colleagues at work, the guys you work with, the people you go to school with, do they know that Jesus died for them? Do they know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do they know that? You say, well, I don't know. Well, don't you think you have a certain amount of responsibility to find out? Don't you care? Sometimes people get offended at questions like that. Why? Because they're too personal? Or is it because it makes you stop and think about their spiritual condition, where they're headed, and our responsibility? It is painful. No one likes to consider the fact that during your lifetime there are going to be people who you know who die and go to hell without Christ because you or someone like you never got around to telling them about Jesus. It's an ugly truth, but I've had to face it. I know of some instances where there are people that have died that I did have an opportunity to talk to, and I blew it. I wasn't paying attention. My friend, you don't want to live with that kind of guilt. You don't want to have to deal with that sort of sense of responsibility, that sense of failure. Now, God is love, and we love Him because He first loved us. If you drop back to verse 11 here in chapter 4, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let your love for God wash over and reach out, if you will, to the lost. They don't know Christ, but Christ died for them and God loved them. If you love Him, that is, if you love the Lord, don't you want these people to experience the same love that you have? To experience the freedom from the power of sin that you have? I mean, that's assuming you have experienced that freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the penalty of sin? Don't they need to know? We love Him because He first loved us. If He had waited on us to initiate a relationship with Him, we'd all gone to hell. Because it's not in us. We don't have the capability. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Spiritually, we're like walking corpses before we're saved. In His grace, in His love, in His mercy, this prevenient grace, the grace that comes before belief, that opens the eyes so that we can see and comprehend our lost condition, can see and comprehend Christ as the answer for our sin, the answer for our sin problem. Our God loves us, loves you. We love Him because He first loved us. When you look at what God has done for us, how can we not help? We can't help but respond to that love in like kind. You'll notice, he goes on, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother that he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The question is very eminently logical. You say you love God? Oh, well, I don't hate my brother. But do you love him? Oh, of course I love him. Have you told him about Christ? Have you told some lost individual what Christ has done for you? Now my time's gone. I'm going to have to sign off. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we'll pick up our study there. And join me for the next edition of The Bible Says.